Will tomorrow bring the light of day? Will our house be rubble blown asunder? In the cellar we will hide ourselves and pray. Will the smoke clear in the morning? Will the city all go down in flames? Will the factory be standing? Will life here ever be the same? There's terror in the skies of the city. Fear is in the hearts of children, women, and men. And you'll never see the faces of the dead. Is this where mobs fall again?
A glimpse of what it's like when an Israeli missile hits just meters from your home. Every day and every night since this war began, this is what the men, women, and children here are seeing and feeling over and over again. And Israel has warned this is just the beginning. We went to see Ra'ed and Wafaa Al-Ramli, who live with their three children just next to the ministry complex of the deposed government. More than a dozen Israeli missiles hit the complex within a matter of minutes at 1 a.m. Tuesday morning. The family were asleep at their neighbor's house at the time.
Look what they did to our house. This is not about hitting Hamas or authority buildings like the Israelis say. This is a war on us, the people of Gaza.
The sound when the explosion happens. Oh, the sound.
I asked 17-year-old Maram how she felt when she heard the missile strike. At first, she couldn't even answer.
All our lives we are suffering. Now my home is gone. We have nothing. That's it.
And just as we were talking, the neighbors rushed in to say a warning had been issued for everyone to evacuate the area.
We can hear the sound of the Israeli drones just above us, and there's word that we may have to evacuate the area because the ministry buildings are just to our left here, but not very far away at all. And that is why everyone is moving whatever they can and trying to get out of here. But the problem is, where can everyone go?
You ask me how it is that I dare to take a side. You say I loathe myself, pointing out you have lied. You say it's tribal warfare, but I disagree, for the dynamics of the situation are not difficult to see. On the one side is the fighter jet, on the other is the stone. On the one side is the slave, on the other is the throne. For the many there are checkpoints, while foreign soldiers rule the streets. For the one side there is victory, but the people don't accept defeat. The word you need to know is occupation. The very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It'll come on the day the tanks return to Tel Aviv. All across the world you can hear the people say, the children of Jerusalem will be free one day. In overcrowded camps amidst the stench of death and flies to the suburbs of Detroit, you can hear the anguish cries. While in the land of Israel, with God ever on their side, walls and fences are constructed, papers are denied. People fight for their existence while we turn a blinded eye. And those who should know better insist on asking why. The word you need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It will come on the day the refugees return to Tel Aviv.
As fierce battles were waged on the ground, the onslaught continued from the air. Airplanes, tanks, artillery and naval boats pounding Gaza as Israeli forces took up positions inside the strip. Here, a helicopter gunship opening fire. There were airstrikes as troops crossed the border. Palestinian families who spent most of the last week hiding in their homes now have to contend with close quarter battles on the streets. In a few hours, the enemy will realize that they made a big historical mistake when they decided to enter Gaza. If the Zionist leaders have launched this war for electoral gains, it will be their political failure. This aggression targets all Palestinians. The coordination is not only between the resistance factions. The entire Palestinian people are facing this aggression, and they are aware that this is a battle of existence. The Palestinian people largely supports the resistance. The more the Zionist propaganda grows, the more the Palestinian people are attached to the resistance. The entire Palestinian people and the resistance are united fighting the occupation. They know that they have to be steadfast. They are ready to give everything. There are field operation rooms on the ground in every area where there is an incursion. There is a direct coordination between other Palestinian factions and us. The battle has just started, and the enemy should endure the consequences and results. They should be ready for the bad news coming from the Gaza Strip. Before this attack started, we made it clear that if the occupation widens their aggression against Gaza, we would hit sensitive areas. But because of their arrogance, the occupation didn't listen to us, and we hit the areas.
Here comes the helicopter. Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered? Only God can say. If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, I would retaliate.
Red alert in the town of Sderot. People run for cover. A rocket has been fired from Gaza, and within 15 seconds it will land. We're all bundled into a bomb shelter, along with some important visitors from the United States. The mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, is in town. He's here to be photographed, showing solidarity with the people of Sderot. When it comes to the people of Gaza, however, he sounds less sympathetic.
Mayor Bloomberg, what do you think about the dozens of Palestinian civilians killed in Gaza?
I think it's a disgrace, and you should talk to Hamas. They're putting their own people at risk, and it's an outrage. If Hamas would focus on building a country rather than destroying another one, those people wouldn't get injured and wouldn't get killed.
Sderot is only a couple of kilometers from the Gaza border, and it's been in the firing line for several years. Today, a rocket landed in this street, blowing away the back wall of a house. The people living next door are Russian Jews who only moved to Israel 3 years ago. When we heard the sirens, we were scared, Zoya tells me. We prayed to God that it would not hit us. It landed in the backyard.
I want to raise every voice. At least I've got to try. Every time I think about it, water rises to my eyes. Situation desperate. Echoes of the victim's cry. If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, some son of a bitch would die.
A few hours after Israel launched its ground offensive in Gaza, explosions just north of Gaza City. After 8 days of airstrikes, Israeli troops are now inside the Palestinian territory, pounding targets with tank shells as well as bombs and missiles. but already it's counting its own casualties. These soldiers were wounded in the first hours of the ground operation and evacuated to the southern Israeli city of Beersheba. Gazans woke on Sunday to plumes of smoke above their homes, a chilling sign that Israel's Operation Cast Lead is now into its second phase. Israel says its mission is to shut down Hamas. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's cabinet has given the Israeli military permission to call up as many army reservists as it needs, which could number in the tens of thousands. Hamas says it has already inflicted casualties on Israel's ground forces.
Your incursion into the Gaza Strip will not be a picnic. It will not be a picnic. Gaza will be your graveyard. Wait, for tomorrow, you will see you have no other option but to stop the aggression and end the siege without any conditions. You will not feel secure until our people feel secure.
We've spent days now in fear. We can't sleep. Our children are terrified. I ask for the international community, the Arabs, the world, to stand with us in this war.
Israeli officials say they're only targeting Hamas leaders, its headquarters, and buildings used for storing weapons. But scores of civilians have been killed in the Gaza Strip.
Why hit a home with 20 people inside with no warning? What can be the reason for hitting civilians? Is this a war against us?
I'm also a civilian, and I don't keep in my basement a barrage of rockets and a storage for rockets. Neither do my neighbors. But you can see many civilians using their houses for launching sites, for storing weapons, and so on. This situation cannot go on.
Both sides have declared they're prepared for a long battle, but they've also said they would prefer peace. For now, though, Israel and Hamas seem intent on continuing the cycle of violence.
I think victory will come very soon. I'm not afraid of war nor death. We only die once. We got used to war, and by God's will, we will achieve victory.
No, we are not scared at all. We do expect the worst, but what God wants will happen. Our weapon is our faith, which is facing their weapons of jets and tanks.
We are not the occupiers, Israelis. All of this is an aid of Israel's security, whilst the Arab countries are keeping silent. Moreover, they recognize Israel. Is recognizing Israel the only way to have a normal life, to get food and live normally?
May God bless our fighters. We pray to God to be at their side and help them to win.
I swear to God that we are not scared, because God is standing by our side, and if we die, we'll be martyrs. I can hit the soldiers with anything, even with the household items.
If a dog died in this very ugly way in any other country, the entire world would object and offer help. Our children are being killed and we starve under the blockade. We suffer war, blockade and starvation. And Arabs are watching.
On November 4th, the record is clear. Israel broke the ceasefire by going into the Gaza and killing 6 or 7 Palestinian militants. At that point, and now I'm quoting the official Israeli website, Hamas retaliated, or in retaliation for the Israeli attack, then launched the missiles. Now, as to the reason why, the record is fairly clear as well. According to Haaretz, Defense Minister Barak began plans for this invasion before the ceasefire even began. The plans for the invasion began in March. And the main reasons for the invasion, I think, are twofold. Number one, to enhance what Israel calls its deterrence capacity, basically means Israel's capacity to terrorize the region into submission. After their defeat in July 2006 in Lebanon, they felt important to transmit the message that Israel is still a fighting force, still capable of terrorizing those who dare defy its word. And the second main reason for the attack is because Hamas was signaling that it wanted a diplomatic settlement of the conflict along the June 1967 border. That is to say, Hamas was signaling they had joined the international consensus, they had joined most of the international community, overwhelmingly the international community, in seeking a diplomatic settlement. At that point, Israel was faced with what Israelis call a Palestinian peace offensive. And in order to defeat the peace offensive, they sought to dismantle Hamas.
Gaza sky in flames, the usual scene for the 11th day. No letting up on the targets the Israeli army has been shelling since Monday. The air bombardment continues through the night, with the ground offensive going deeper into the strip. Fighting is taking place right on the outskirts of Gaza City itself. And while actual scenes are hard to see, this is the aftermath. This man was left with no single member of his family alive. His baby daughter in diapers. Her head was smashed. A pregnant lady in another home, killed with her 4 children. This man, the only survivor, when the Samoni family in a Zaytun neighborhood perished under a barrage of Israeli rockets.
All my family died. My mother, my father, my wife, my son died, my sisters and their children, my cousins died.
Scores of Gaza families continue to pour into hospitals, dead, injured, or bereft.
They fled the front lines of this war, knowing that Israel's assault would follow them. In Gaza, nowhere is safe and nobody is immune from the onslaught. There are hundreds of refugees now living in makeshift shelters like this one in Gaza City. 13,000 have already been driven from their homes, according to the United Nations. Noha left her home on the outskirts of the strip with her husband and 3 children. Her youngest, Marwa, hasn't been changed in 3 days. The milk she's drinking is the last bottle Noha has for her.
I want to tell people outside to do something. Why is this Palestinian blood so cheap to you? Why are our neighbors living in peace but we are deprived of that? What have the children done to deserve this? Why should my daughter drink milk from a dirty bottle? She won't even take it anymore. What did we do wrong? They bring us some milk, a blanket. We don't want it. We want to go home and eat and sleep and live like everyone else. Where is the great Arab world that they taught us about at school? They have left us. Shame on them.
Conditions here are deteriorating. Creating a clean, safe shelter in a war zone is no easy task. The school simply isn't equipped to deal with the number of refugees that are now staying here night after night. This is the only place that they can get clean water. You can see that most of the taps aren't even working, and people are using the water here to wash themselves, to wash their hands, their feet, and now they're using it to drink with. It's the only water that's clean in the whole school. We could feel the anger all around the shelter. Disappointment at the inaction of the international community and rage at the Arab leaders who they feel have sold them out.
Where are the authorities? Where are our leaders? They have shut their eyes. Why is it that children around the world are allowed to live in peace but not Palestine's children? Aren't we all the same, the children of God? We just want to be free to live in peace.
61 members of Sobhi Rizk's family are now living in this shelter. His granddaughter Amel was overwhelmed by what was happening around her.
I'm crying for the children of Gaza that have been thrown in the streets. We have nothing to do with this. We don't fire rockets. We don't know what this war is about. Why should children be forced to drink dirty water? What did we do wrong? Where is everyone?
Refugees are a casualty of every war, but in Gaza, there is nowhere safe to flee. Israel says its enemy is Hamas, but while it fights its battle, it keeps 1.5 million people trapped inside the war zone it's created.
Fresh carnage on the 11th day of Israel's war on Gaza. Victims of an attack outside a UN school at the Jebelia refugee camp, where more than 1,000 civilians had been seeking refuge from the Israeli offensive. Dozens died, many more injured, as a shell exploded just meters away from the school. More evidence. Nowhere is now safe in Gaza. Children were once again among the dead, and the UN is now calling for an investigation.
We gave, long before this conflict, all of the GPS coordinates of all of our installations in Gaza to the Israelis. Our installations are clearly marked as UNRWA installations. What we want is a full investigation, an impartial investigation into these killings. We want to see if there have been violations of international humanitarian law.
Hamas has condemned the attack.
I think it's a new massacre in this Holocaust in Gaza. The schools are well known for the Israelis. They know that they are places for the United Nations, and they are hitting them.
Just hours earlier, another attack on another UN school, killing 3 members of the same Palestinian family. But Israel insists Hamas is to blame for the civilian deaths, not the Israeli fire.
Major, let's talk about what's happened at this UN school. This is the 3rd UN building that has now been hit, and the UN says continually it has given the GPS coordinates of these facilities to Israel, and 3 of them have been hit. Can you explain that to me, please?
Yeah, well, we don't have any confirmation for the first 2 hospitals. Schools. As for the 3rd one, according to our initial inquiry, we understand that there was a launching of a mortar from the schoolyard towards IDF force in the area. IDF force retaliated with 1 shell. However, it appears to be that the school was probably booby-trapped all around, and according to this, the secondary explosions caused the death and the injuries of the children and the people that were in it.
So you say probably. There wasn't a degree of certainty there. Did you know also that there were hundreds of people there sheltering because they've been displaced by a war? They're sheltering there, and now it appears that up to 40 of them might be dead.
Well, you know, we're in a war, we're fighting a war here, we're defending ourselves. You can't investigate activities in the war very quickly after they happen.
Standing at the edge of Rafah, which is the only official crossing point between the Gaza Strip and Egypt,
one can catch a glimpse of the war raging on in Gaza. Unmanned Israeli spy drones can be heard hovering overhead 24 hours a day. After nearly a year of blockade that saw little goods being allowed into Gaza, the last 11 days of attacks have left some 560 Palestinians dead and another 2,600 injured. With little options left and sympathy for Palestinians running high, many here in Egypt and across the Arab world have responded through charity. Masoud spent all night and day traveling from his home in Alexandria to transport some 10 tons of medical supplies in two trucks. Masoud and his team of volunteers had to pass through no less than 11 checkpoints due to increased security in the Sinai. Once at Rafah, Masoud and his team also faced Israeli F-16s opening fire just kilometers away. But the dangers were worth it. He said the moment the supplies reached the border was the happiest moment of his life.
The idea is that now all of Gaza is suffering injuries. They are all injured in some way. I doubt anyone in Gaza can do more than what we are trying to do. What was the reason behind why we left our work and homes? We have been 24 hours traveling without sleep or eating to deliver these goods. And we did this because of our humanity.
There are dozens more volunteers at the border with Gaza, not waiting to see if meetings in Sharm el-Sheikh or at the UN Security Council in New York can solve the crisis. Jordanian neurosurgeon Dr. Mohamed Khawaldi is one of at least 20 international doctors who have come to the border to help.
We are not here to raise swords or fight. We are here to heal. I will be here, God willing, until the war ends or we enter. There is no return home until the war ends and everything is okay. But as long as injured people are coming out, I am not returning.
While 20 injured Palestinians crossed over into Gaza Monday for treatment, Israel, which controls all of Gaza's borders, has not allowed doctors to enter. But some medical supplies have been able to reach Gaza from as far away as Turkey, Indonesia, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia through the Rafah border. But there is no guarantee, once in Gaza, the supplies will be able to reach the needy. Israel has blocked all major roads and shot at vehicles, including ambulances and supply trucks. This has not stopped Kamal Bashir, a Palestinian truck driver in Rafah, who said he is not afraid of being fired at and will continue transporting supplies into Gaza.
When God has it written in your destiny to die, you die. I am not scared.
And while there is no guarantee the border will be open to doctors to get through or that the medical supplies will reach the most needed places, for now, the tense Rafah border crossing is an uncertain refuge for people waiting patiently for peace. From Rafah, the Egyptian border with Gaza Strip, this is Aya Batraoui for Free Speech Radio News.
I was watching a documentary that I got from overseas that showed this bombed out rubble and a little boy running through it being chased by this soldier with a big AK-47. Kid was running and running, and after a while he just got fed up with it. He turned around, he picked up a rock, and you could almost hear the kid say, "Allahu Akbar," which means God is great. And the soldier froze and pointed his gun at the kid's chest, but he couldn't shoot. And he turned around and he started to run. And here was this little 9-year-old boy with a rock in his hand chasing a soldier with a gun, chasing him from the way they had come. And it brought tears to my eyes because that's the courage we need. We need to learn from these things. But I'm saying that that shit is deep. People are willing to spill their own blood so that their future generations can live without oppression.